Okay, so this is a work ongoing with Brian Battelle, who's also here, and Tong Yan Lin, and they are the ones who have the most of the work. So let me begin by saying that you know, dark matter particle is the only new physics particle that we know it's there. And but for a long time, we know that for a while, but also for a long time. We also know that the SUSY almost has to be there. So it's very natural to think these dark matter has to be within the SUSY framework. And so for a long time, what I want to say is that the SUSY RSP dark matter is almost the synonym of dark matter candidate. And I think both of them are under at least some stress. And first of all, you know, we think, you know, SUSY is going to be produced a lot once we go to the enough appropriate energy, and they give you a lot of spectacular signals, and dark matter in this picture shows up at the end of the decay chain, which is the missing energy, and LSP is stable, give you missing energy. And so we will think that SUSY is going to be discovered together with dark matter. Of course, we know that has not the realized yet. At least we're not there yet. At the same time, if you can, you can also ask what it takes for the SUSY dark matter, LSP dark matter itself, to give you the correct relic abundance. Right? So for that, you know, due to some specific nature of the neutralino LSP, we know that also various experiments, such as direct detection experiments, SUSY dark matter viable parameter space has been cornered somewhat. It can still work, as shown in many of these works. But I think it's fair to say that we are now going down to a narrower parameter space in contrast of 20 years ago, that we think there is this big bulk region where dark matter relic abundance is going to easily work out. So this has motivated many thinking really outside of this standard SUSY box, as we have already seen in Keith's talk. Maybe we should completely shed this framework and think about something completely new. But I guess I couldn't give up all my theoretical prejudice just yet. I think for this talk, at least, I'm going to present you with a traditional approach, that we still have a low energy SUSY, and I want to talk about the dark matter in that scenario. So this scenario is one of the promising way, so-called hiding the supersymmetry, which is employee operative violation. So once you get rid of operative, you including those kind of couplings, you violate all the accidental low energy symmetries in the standard model. Therefore, there's a lot of low energy constraints there. So you can try to do this by say, I'm only going to turn on the interactions I like, and don't turn on the interactions I don't like. But that's actually quite a bit of tuning if you think about it, because these couplings carry flavor indices. They rotate into each other. It's a base dependence statement. So on the other hand, you can a much promising way is to implement symmetry principles, try to control the size of these couplings. There are many progress in this front already. The particular one I wanted to focus on is the minimal flavor violation. And mainly because I think minimal flavor violation is something that, or something close to that, is something that you would have to have in effectively in low energy supersymmetry anyways to satisfy all kinds of flavor constraints. That's very strong already. Then there is the observation that if I impose minimal flavor violation and just on this operative violating couplings, they actually can satisfy all the other low energy constraints as well. Okay, so for example, this is the dominant contribution. If you impose MFE, this is the UDD operator, but with the Yukawa coupling insertions. So it's dominantly going to go the third generation white top operator is going to dominate, basically. Okay. Now, but once I have R-parity violation, the LSP will decay. Okay, that the traditional dark matter candidate is gone. So what about dark matter in this framework? So of course you need to add new stuff to the MSSM, okay, to be the dark matter. So that's something you have to do anyways. On the other hand, you think about it, not just you have to add new stuff, but you have to have new symmetries to make that dark matter stay stable. Sounds like you have to do two things, but it turns out that if you just have a minimal flavor violation, which I argue that is a good symmetry to think about, to impose on the RPV couplings anyways, it turns out MFV can actually be that new symmetry already. You don't need to invent a new one. So the statement is that if you introduce dark matter as a part of a multiplet, as part of a flavor multiplet, and the MFV symmetry itself can actually stabilize dark matter. So this is the observation made by this group of authors. So they have demonstrated this by construct all possible operators you can write down between dark matter and the standard model state. And you can enumerate all of them and demonstrate that MFV, once you have MFV, and the dark matter is indeed stable for a certain class of flavor multiplets. So we can also try to understand this in a simpler way by just identifying the discrete symmetries. So this is just for notation purpose. This is the standard model gauge group. This is the flavor group. As I write down here's the representations of standard model quarks. And this is the representation for Yukawa couplings because we wanted to think about them also transform. And this is the dark matter, which under a certain representation of a flavor symmetry. So this is we write it in the tensor representation. So this is like that. Okay. So then what we wanted to identify is a Z3 subgroup under all these symmetries. So these are the charges of Yukawa couplings, quarks, and dark matter under that subgroup. So I just copy the table here. You see that if these charges satisfy these relations, then U itself is a symmetry of the Lagrangian with the Yukawa couplings. And if the representation of chi is in such a way that this relation is satisfied, chi transform non-trivially under this Z3 symmetry, which is the exact symmetry of the theory, and it is stable. So for example, there's some example stable representations. They're very simple ones. So I'm going to show you a simple example with this. So that's that example. So this is the so this is my dark matter, and because it's transformed only under SU3R to make a flavor singlet, it couples to the standard model right-hand up quarks. And I also have to absorb all the color indices, therefore I have to introduce a colored multiplet as well, which is Y. But that's the only thing you can write down. And this is too complicated to go through, but it just shows you that I have enough freedom in Kähler potential to actually split the flavor multiplet while consistent with MFV. So this is the example spectrum. So I will have I'll give you a particular example which I call topphilic. So let's just say I have this coupling which prefer to couple to top, and this is my dark matter multiplet, and this is my colored state. So this is my dark matter multiplet where the lightest one is the dark matter, and this is the color state I have to introduce. And this is my top quark and the stop. So I put stop here very low to be consistent with naturalness. So you can calculate the relic abundance. So I'm not going to go through details, but this just shows that the relic abundance can work out pretty simply because they can annihilate it into TT bar or stop. in this scenario. And the direct detection is actually dominated by exchanging of a Z. And so you see that the C-noun depends on the mass of the mediator. And the C-noun already, 100 already sets some interesting limit of the parameter space, but there are still a lot of parameter space that this actually works. So this is a dark matter mass. And above this dashed line is ruled out by Z-noun. One more thing to say, and I'll be done. So let's also think about the LHC scenario. So this is just the spectrum I draw you there. So the dark matter, so the dominant scenario is that you're going to produce this colored state that I introduced. And because the coupling that I wrote down a couple slides ago, this can decay to a top plus dark matter. Okay, but it isn't. So you think you found a heavy stop. The theory is less natural, but it's actually not the stop. On the other hand, so that you can produce the fermionic colored state and decay down to a stop and the dark matter itself. So this is looks like a gluino, and the stop will decay, of course, with RPD couplings, UDD. And this looks like a gluino signal, but your natural stop is actually hidden inside there. So that's something interesting about the LHC signal of this scenario. So that's it. I won't read the conclusions.
Questions, comments?
Someone ought to ask this question. Could you go back one slide?
Okay.
So the limits on the chi are, so why are not the limits on the chi comparable to the gluino limits modulo the difference in cross section because of the spin?
You mean this one? It should be close to that.
I see.
This itself has no bearing on either the dark matter mass or naturalness. Right, the naturalness is still controlled by the stop.
Oh, I see. So that's the idea. Push the chi and the psi into the TEV region.
Yeah.
And that's the strategy.
Yeah. So this is my dark matter. This is the state that I have to introduce to couple dark matter. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Other questions? Non-stupid questions?
Thank you.
Thank you, Lin Chao.